The stolen Euclidean submarine is still racing for Los Angeles. Hour after hour, the powerful explosions of compressed gas have driven the speedy boat on toward its goal. It is now noon, and a blazing summer sun is beating down on the waters of the Pacific Ocean. The submarine is very near the surface of the water, and in the control section, Captain Bradford, Mrs. Gregory, Jerry, and Joan are discussing a shadow on the water directly above them.
I don't like the looks of that shadow.
The shadow is harmless.
Sure, but what's making the shadow?
Looks to me like a good-sized plane, and a plane flying not any too high.
That is precisely what casts the shadow.
One of the Euclidean planes?
Undoubtedly. That is one of the planes from the island, and the pilot is very carefully keeping his shadow directly over us at all times.
Oh, then maybe that shadow can hurt us.
Now, Jerry, you've been around that magic island so long, you're imagining things.
Well, what's that shadow doing there, then, if it's not for our benefit?
The shadow is probably kept over us for a definite reason. The pilot of the Euclidean plane knows that while we are conscious of his proximity, we are less likely to attempt communication with the shore.
But we'll have to communicate with the shore in a few hours now, won't we?
It is quite possible we will attempt to land without any communication to the shore.
But, Joan, we've told you that it's out of the question. You simply can't land a strange submarine, particularly one carrying as many unique weapons as this one, without getting yourself thoroughly put in jail.
And they'll do it, too. I think we ought to let them know we're coming.
Well, I don't. We'd never get anything accomplished if the waterfront found out what was going on.
We are now passing Point Loma.
Point Loma? Just off San Diego?
So soon, Joan?
We are making good speed, Captain Bradford. We will reach Los Angeles Harbor in slightly more than 2 hours.
Gee whiz. Point Loma. I wish the Coast Guard over there in San Diego knew what was going on. Boy, what they wouldn't do to that plane over us.
The thought makes it seem almost worthwhile to try letting them know we're out here.
Too risky, Pat. Though it would seem mighty good to know those Coast Guard boys were rolling that big plane of theirs down the ramp.
I think it would be foolish. We must proceed to Los Angeles at once.
Couldn't we go up on the surface? Just long enough to open the observation hatch and take a look at the shoreline?
Homesick, Jerry?
Oh, maybe I am. A little.
What is homesick?
Don't you feel homesick for the Magic Island, Joe?
I do not know what homesick is, so I cannot tell whether I feel it or not. But I do not feel at all ill, so I presume I do not feel homesick.
Gee, that's funny. She don't even know what homesick is.
I'm not sure that it's very funny, Jerry. Think of not having any place you cared enough for to be homesick.
Gosh, that wouldn't be so good.
What is homesick?
Homesickness, my dear, is the lost, lonesome feeling a person gets when he's been too long away from his home and his loved ones.
Then why should I be homesick? I like very much to be here with all of you. And you have told me that my home is with you, Mother. How can I be homesick when I am going toward my home?
Well, that's a good way to figure it, Joan. But I'm afraid most of us would have a little more trouble than that, trying to talk ourselves out of a spell of homesickness.
Well, it won't be long now. We'll soon be outside harbor at Los Angeles.
And that will mean we'll soon be in great danger.
I agree with you, Pat. I think it's time we made our plans.
We are in danger now. Constant danger, and planning is useless until we are familiar with conditions at Los Angeles.
Hey.
What is it, Jerry?
I just thought of something.
Something important to this landing of ours?
I think it is.
Then let us hear it.
That Euclidean plane flying around up there.
He's not going to do anything to us.
Maybe not, but there's something mighty mysterious about that plane.
Well, in what way, Jerry?
Well, how does he get by with flying along at that altitude? He can't be more than 1,000 feet above the water. You know, plenty of people can see him from land, and they can tell that it isn't no ordinary plane. Not only that, but we've passed under 2 big squadrons of Navy planes, and they couldn't help but see him.
Why, you're right, Jerry. And surely anyone flying near that plane and seeing how it was made would be curious about it.
I think the plane has not been seen.
Why, it must have been seen, Joan. Jerry's given you good reasons why it couldn't miss being seen.
The plane is probably invisible.
Invisible?
Now, Joan, your voice was as loud as any other in telling us that there isn't any magic on Euclidea. And an invisible plane sounds like magic to me.
Me too.
You found the Magic Island invisible, didn't you?
Huh?
Well, yes. Yes, we did. That is, it was invisible to our eyes, simply because it was surrounded with that bank of artificial fog.
Exactly. And if we were on the surface, we could look up and see a large gray cloud flying steadily along over us.
That Euclidean plane is hidden in a cloud? An artificial cloud generated by the plane and thrown out around it?
Precisely.
Every time I learn one more of the things those Euclideans can do, I wonder a little more just how we're going to come out when we really mix with them.
Well, it won't be easy, Jerry.
I'll say it won't.
But even though the plane is invisible for all practical purposes, it does cast a shadow. Surely someone must have seen the shadow on the water.
If it was seen from another plane, the pilot might think it was the shadow from his own. And a boat would not notice it unless the shadow passed directly over the boat. We know the shadow has not done that, for we have not passed directly under a boat.
Then, barring some unusual and unlikely accident, that plane will have no trouble following us right into the harbor.
It looks that way, Pat.
Boy, there'd sure be something doing inside that plane if another pilot took a notion to fly through there.
That would be unfortunate.
At least that, my dear.
I think we'd better stop speculating as to what might happen to somebody else if they flew into a cloud and start figuring what's liable to happen to us when we get into port.
Well, we can't figure anything until we get there, can we?
That is correct, Jerry. Planning would be useless without knowledge of local conditions at our destination.
But how are we going to land, Joan?
I have told you, Mother. We will use individual airlocks and leave the submarine anchored at the 10-fathom level.
We're going to unload from this barge 60 feet below the water level and walk into the harbor?
That is the general idea.
It don't sound any too good to me.
Joan must know what she's talking about, Jerry, or she wouldn't suggest such a thing.
Well, I haven't heard enough of the story to make it sound right.
You have given me little opportunity of telling you anything.
Well, what about all the hours we just sat here and hung on while we plowed up most of the Pacific Ocean?
Well, Joan has been mighty busy all the time, Jerry. Don't forget that she's the only one who really understands this submarine. And we've been depending on her for all our navigation.
Well, I know that. But she means I talk too much.
Do you not?
Well, maybe I do.
Don't feel badly about it, Jerry. We all talk too much at times. And I agree with you that now is the time to make what decisions we can about our landing at home.
Joan is absolutely right when she says that we must leave the sub submerged, safely beyond the harbor, and safely below any possible accidental discovery from the surface.
Correct, Captain.
And as I understand it, you know exactly how to get us safely from that submarine to the surface of the water and then into the harbor?
I will see that we float safely on the surface of the water. You will be responsible for our landing in the harbor.
I knew there was a catch in this somewhere.
Now, Jerry.
Oh, sorry.
Joan, dear, do you realize that we will probably be anchored out too far to swim in comfortably? And that there's no way to arrange for anyone to meet us unless we send them a radio message.
We may have to use the radio as a last resort.
And that will let the Euclideans know exactly where we've anchored this sub.
Well, what do we care if they get the boat? Just so we get out of it first.
I'd like to be able to dry dock this boat, let our Navy men take it apart. They might learn a lot of things that the governments of the world should know.
I think we will be able to lay our plans when the time comes. For the moment, I have a far greater problem facing me.
What's that?
This submarine is no longer swaying around. The stern is perfectly stable.
I noticed that.
So did I, but I thought it was purely accidental. I like it. Is there more to it, Joan?
I believe there is. We are being held on our course.
Held on our course? From some outside source of power?
It would appear so.
But what kind of power could do that?
I fear I know the answer.
You fear you know the answer?
Yes, Mother. But I will withhold it until I am certain.
Well, now, look here, Joan. We're not children, any of us. If you know something we will have to find out eventually, why not tell us now? Perhaps we can help you work it out.
Sure. Everything that's happened to us so far has come out all right.
I think the men are right here. What is it?
We are rapidly losing our forward speed.
We're slowing up?
Observe the speed as indicated on the instrument.
Well, it seems that we're only making 35 knots now, and the needle is gradually dropping off.
Precisely.
Are we running out of fuel, Joan?
Definitely, no.
Then what's holding us back?
You have hit it very accurately, Jerry. We are being held back.
But that doesn't make sense, Joan. What could hold this submarine back?
Magnetism.
Magnetism. That sounds like another trick of the Euclideans.
Without doubt, it is the work of G-47 and his scientists.
But how could they reach us?
Joan, look. That speed indicator has fallen off to 30 knots.
It will not fall below that speed, I think.
You seem quite certain what is taking place, Joan.
I am almost sure. One moment more and I will know.
One moment. Is something going to happen to us?
Nothing more than is happening now. Captain Bradford, you are a navigator. Will you look at my compass?
Why, sure, Joan, but what... Oh.
Huh? What'd you say, Tex?
This compass is pointing due south, and we're running due north. Every instrument on this board is paralyzed, and every needle that is near enough the horizontal to swing free is pointing south.
Then the Euclideans are using magnetism on us. They're sending out magnetic beams from that island to hold us back.
I don't believe it. Even on the magic island, they haven't got strong enough magnetic powers for that. Oh, maybe they could pull the compass around, but they sure couldn't hold the submarine back.
Correct, Jerry. It is not being done from the island, but it is the work of the Euclideans.
From that Euclidean plane flying over it?
No, Pat. Wait a minute. I think I've got it. There's the Euclidean
submarine right behind us.
Oh, no, Ted.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, but how?
You must be wrong, Joan. You said this was the fastest sub on the island.
It is, but do not forget that we lay at the bottom of the ocean, practically motionless, for hours.
You're right. And every time we had to dive to get away from those bombs, every time we had to subvert to keep out of trouble, there was a sub gaining on us all the time.
Gee, one of those Euclideans plowing along our course, just waiting for a chance to catch up with us.
But how could they have been so sure of our course?
That is one occasion where the very perfection of Euclidean machinery has betrayed us. Any Euclidean submarine commander would know that we would be navigating with the automatic devices and that our course would be the regular Euclidean course to Los Angeles. He could not fail to follow us.
And now, there's one of those submarines practically on top of us.
He must be pretty close, isn't he, Joan?
Within a mile, or his magnets would not hold us back.
Well, what are our chances?
To outrun that submarine, we have no chance. But he will never shorten the distance between us.
Well, that's all right here. But when we get to Los Angeles, what then?
Yes, Joan, what then? We can't possibly get out of this submarine and escape during the few minutes it will take him to catch up with us after we stop.
Well, I don't see what we can do about it. It's up to you, Joan.
I see no more chance of escaping that submarine than you do. That is, if we attempt to stop at Los Angeles.
Attempt to stop? Joan, we must stop there.
Then that other Euclidean submarine will stop with us. And what will happen then, I am afraid to say.